Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Hodgie. Time for the Bowlology Report, episode 19. Big week in cricket. As always, the Big Bash is finished for the men and the women. T20 cricket's going well for the Aussies. But, mate, good to have you back. And for a little brief period there, I didn't know whether we'd have you back.
I didn't know whether you want me back because you've gone with all these superstars like Limo and that, you know, big fish in the media world. I'm just happy to be invited back.
I think you're happy to be alive, aren't you? What happened? Appendicitis. What happened?
Well, it wasn't ideal. Yep. So I went up to captain the Renegades, actually, against Sydney Thunder. Yep. So I was all ready to take the field with the players, but the night before, sort of 48 hours out, I developed some abdominal pain, just not localised.
But you're thinking food poisoning?
Just a bit of food poisoning, because it was actually Tim Ludeman's mates who brought a pile of crayfish into the rooms after the last game. About 15 crayfish, I think, they brought in. So we all dived into it after the loss to Adelaide Strikers. And I thought it was that.
Yeah.
So got on the plane, ready to get up there in Canberra and give him a shakedown. Didn't make it. All I found myself in was a cab at 3 o'clock in the morning to the local hospital. I didn't even know if they had hospitals in Canberra, but I looked on the internet and there was a hospital. And the cab driver was good. He was a Pakistani background. And he said to me, "Oh, you must be in lots of pain because I've had this experience before." And he said, "Look, don't go to this hospital. Go to this other hospital."
Oh, so he knew.
Local knowledge. He said, "I've been there and had the same procedure." So they looked after me well. So I said, "Whatever's best, mate, you take me to that hospital." So off we went.
So they cut into your appendicitis, but that appendix, but that wasn't it, was it?
No, it wasn't it. So I didn't finish there. So I developed, or probably already had, something which is called peritonitis, which is an infection and bacteria. So they didn't really cut off the full stem of the appendix.
So you've lost some appendix, but yes, you've actually grown your vocabulary.
Yes.
You're using words I've never heard before.
I've been on fire. I've learned all about it. So luckily for me, got down to local Melbourne here in Cabrini a few days after that. It was a testing ride back home on the plane from Canberra. And the next day was a public holiday, so there was no point getting into the hospital or you know seeing a doctor. So I waited out and then went back in. And luckily for me, or fortunate enough, there's some pretty good doctors at Cambrini, and they said, "Look, you're lucky you've come back in."
Well, they reckon they're a couple of days away from maybe ending your innings.
They did say that.
Your cricket innings during the week. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, they did say that. Very lucky, actually. So, you know, they said sort of 40 years ago you'd probably pass away from this. So you're lucky you come on. We've got the technology now and we can clear it all out, which is great. So that was sort of surprising news, which I didn't really expect, especially when I just thought I had some food poisoning for some crayfish. But
so you didn't quite go to the other side, though. It didn't get all dark.
See a light at the end of the tunnel.
But it was interesting to see, and we've got a few people watching there. Thanks for that. Brett went straight away and said, "Well done on your career." So you got out of it, and you think, well, that's it.
Yeah.
End of my playing career.
Yeah, well, I sort of said to him, sort of after the first appendix, they said, "Well, you know, there's a likely chance that you might be able to come back for the finals." Because I found out that Rory Sloane came back in 9 days' time from an appendicitis and played
similar sort of players
footy. But they sort of said that if you just want to play a conservative game and just open the batting and, you know, nudge a few down a third man, and
there's
that,
a few blokes doing that,
but probably not hoiking the ball to deep mid wicket as far as you can. That wouldn't help. So it was okay. It just sort of ended there. But luckily for me, the second surgery in 3 days pretty much cleared up the issues, and
it cleared up your mind.
Yeah, I already knew sort of leading into this season that I wasn't going to play on next year. But I didn't really want to make a song and dance about it. I think that this game's been so good to me over 25 years that, you know, you don't need a soft top car to drive you around the MCG waving to a load of people or Etihad. For me, it's
bet
just...
But you won't say no to it?
Oh, I won't say
if
no
If I can organise it for Saturday night.
I'm more interested in a gold watch.
I've got some of your figures here. Like, it's quite amazing. Is 33,000 runs in top-level cricket, 8,200. Yep. So 82 times you went, and you did that twice in one test match against the South Africans.
Yep.
179 wickets. You got one five for 28. Do you know who that was against?
No. I
didn't look it up.
I knew I had four against New South Wales once at the SCG, and I was desperate to get a five. I don't think I got it, but I actually can't remember who that five for against. It was 28, so they're obviously a pretty shit team, whoever they were.
It might have been a county.
Might have been a county gig, actually. Might have been some lob-ups.
We're going to... Oh, at the end. So it was 5 for 28 off two.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, I was always a big fan of your bowling. I remember you taking wickets up at the Gabba one day for the Vicks. You would have been really young.
Yeah.
Hey, and what about the one little thing I liked from the Melbourne Renegades was you slogged them in your last innings, hit a couple of big sixes in a losing campaign, but they put a little red seat
they have
up there, tier three.
It was a really nice touch. They just sort of said, well, I think it's the first time it's got up onto tier three. Finchy was a little bit dirty about it.
He hit the roof.
He said, why don't they paint the roof red? And I said, well, I'm skilled enough to miss the railing of the roof. But I sort of messaged him and he laughed and said, is this some kind of joke that they're playing here? But look, it was a really nice touch. I think it's quite funny, actually. And I said to them, they should actually do the similar thing for a footy.
Yeah.
So have the full forward's worst miss of the tournament. So if he shanks it out on the...
Put a little yellow there. Yeah, yellow like seat.
So they were open to that. But look, it's unfortunately it doesn't allow me any free, you know, drinks or free entry into the fixture. But
you get that seat whenever you want it.
It'll always be there.
Surely you get to sit there. Like Simon O'Donnell, MCG, I played that game where he hit Greg Matthews into the third tier.
That's an amazing shot.
That's about 130
metres. I've always looked at that seat every time I've gone to the MCG.
And over mid-off, not over mid-wicket.
And off a spinner too.
Yeah.
So I think... If anyone ever had a look at the trajectory of that ball which O'Donnell would hit, it would have been the most incredible thing you'd ever see.
Actually, we've got a question from someone there. The name's just gone there, but he believed that he might have studied with you at Deakin. So now you've retired.
Right.
You'd be calling on your university degree, wouldn't you?
He probably studied. and I probably followed suit every now and then. I like Deakin University. I think it's a really good campus, really good place to study.
I went there for 4 days.
Yeah.
A little 4 day
I probably
degree.
Went there for about 4 days, two of my 3 year campaign. But it was very good. David Parkin was one of the people who was involved back then.
Well, David helped me get in.
Because back then, with no ACA,
you actually had to do your own research.
You had to pay. You had to get your own way in there. They've got it blessed these days with the ACA helping them out. But it actually did help me out in the long run. You know, about a few years ago, I was managed to have a master's in business sport management.
Awesome.
So that course was very good.
It also keeps your mind off
this
your cricket as well.
I don't remember this person because I never actually showed up.
Did it online.
But thank you very much.
Hey, Hodgie, well, fantastic career. And we've talked about it a bit, and we will talk a little bit later because the wicket of truth is coming to the Bowlology Report. So it's not a puff piece either.
No.
This is going to be the hardest 90 seconds of your cricketing career. But things you need to know in cricket this week.
Yep.
The Aussies are red hot in T20 cricket.
They are red
it
hot.
It has been a nightmare, hasn't it, since it started at international level. Australia have never been very good at it. We haven't won any World Cups. But I like the look of this team. And in particular, Glenn Maxwell, who's had a frustrating summer. He's probably been in career best form in red ball and white ball.
Yep.
Only just snuck into the one day series and batted okay in Perth, but he's ripping it up in the T20. That was a fine 100.
He's had a phenomenal year. 300 for, or close to 300 for the Vicks in a game against New South Wales. 100 here. I just think that he has probably had a really good sort of 18 months with the cricket bat anyway. Yeah, he did well when he got his test opportunity over in India. He's done well. He's answering all the critics. You know, he's facing a tough time. It's not easy when, especially when you're playing well. You want to play at the highest level when you're playing well. We saw Darcy Short. He's in really good touch yet last night. Hit a few good balls. You know, he's ready to play. And you just sense that that's where Maxwell's at. They're obviously just trying to fine tune a little few things outside of his game. And I hope they are doing that. But what a performance.
What about the Hollywood ending, though? You're just wanting Alex Carey. I think he, you know, there was, what was there, three to win, and Carey got the single, yep, and Maxi needed a four or a six, and he just got it over the rope for six.
Yeah, I actually reckon he timed it perfectly to make sure that he did need a four or six at the end. That's Glenn Maxwell to a T, and that's what we love about him. He's a showman. What we love, though, is any time you score a T20 100 from the number four position, I reckon is super and really special. And there's not many people in the world that can do it. He's one of them, because generally you only ever see, you know, number one or two, possibly three, yeah, score 100. But him, Glenn Maxwell, hats off. It was a phenomenal innings.
And it was good. I mean, England 9 for 155. There's a stage they're looking at 200. David Malan hit him really well, 50 off just 36 deliveries. Considering he played the Test series, yeah, and was really patient, he made tough runs. He only had the Prime Minister's 11 to get into this series. So particularly his flick into leg side, but it was spin again for Australia. Agar and Maxwell, 5 for 25 or 5. And Agar, probably not as flamboyant as a Maxwell, but he just seems to be steadily improving as well each year.
Well, Ashton was unbelievable in the Big Bash. Oh, when you play at the Wacker and you play at a few other grounds, you feel that he's a person that you can target. I think I watched a couple of games where he went at 4, 4.5 an over for his four overs. And especially when you got Mitchell Johnson and Joel Parris and, yeah, Ty and all these Jai Richardson superstar quicks at the other end. You're feeling you can attack Ashton. His bowling, his length and skill sets are on the improve dramatically.
Now, I'm guessing a stat here, but it got to this sort of level, Hodgie, backing you up, that I think it was about his fourth game that he'd only been hit for 1-4 and 1-6.
And that's amazing.
They just couldn't find the boundary.
Yeah, that's amazing. And credit to him, because that's probably, yeah, he got thrust into the T20 side pretty early, and he was asked to open the bowling against, you know, New Zealand, and Martin Guptill put him over the fence a couple of times, which, you know, may have set his confidence back a little bit. But, you know, well done. This is where, backing someone like him in consistently from JL and the Scorchers all the time and just getting the job done. That's,
and I thought
that's
he
tremendous.
Batted well too. He's a bit like Turner. He goes hard. You know, just when you think you get him down to seven down or five down. And I think his batting's good. His fielding's really good there too. I like the look of our top order, really. I mean, Warner hasn't got going yet. Yeah. But Warner, Short, Lynn, Maxwell, Stoinis, there's genuine power there.
It looks great. Our side looks very settled, actually, for the first time in a long time. I guess the biggest question will be, you know, when does Steve Smith come back in, and where does he fit into that lineup? Because don't forget that one of the best T20 players in the world still wasn't playing yesterday, in Aaron Finch.
Well, he comes straight back
straight in.
But I'm just sort of trying to work out the batting order then.
Well,
too.
Look, this might be a path which the Aussies might have to take. Steve Smith is still one of the best 2020 players going around and cricketers going around, but. Yeah, maybe it might be a fresh thing. You know, we've seen Ponting come in at a fresh face to the T20 side as a coach. Maybe we might need the same thing for, you know, David Warner, just to take the reins for a while. The one thing I like about David Warner being there is, in the past history, he's probably rested in a lot of these games.
Yeah.
And when you play T20 for Australia, you want the best players to be there. You want to learn from, you know, Warner and Smith and all these guys and Stark and everything. But I know the bowlers need a rest, but it's great to have these superstars playing. I like the idea of this tri-series as well, where you get a combination of games, collective games against some opposition.
Might need to turn that off.
Oh, And wasn't anyone special like Will Smith or you know anyone like that?
Well,
was
Will
it?
Smith. We will be talking about Will Smith a little bit later. Yeah, I don't know. We
hot
connected.
Knobbing around, are you? You did. But you know, I like playing against England. I think they're a really good T20 side. You hinted at Dawid Malan, who just came in and actually took Billy Stanlake to the cleaners in one over. It was beautiful cover drives, couple
of
cool shots.
It was interesting, wasn't it? Like Billy just ripped it up, didn't he? Ripped it up in the first game, and then there was no swing, and he just got a bit short. Malan was right onto him.
Right onto him, and he looked like a class player. And I think that you know, if you look at both of these 11s, I think Australia's bowling unit looked better than England's, and I think that's where we won.
Andrew Tye's grown in confidence this summer. You know, I think his first couple of games for Australia, he was feeling his way. Am I good enough?
Yeah.
Took a few games to take wickets, got a 5 for it, the whacker, you know, 4 wickets in the first game against New Zealand, and it's that type of fast medium. I think you could afford to have a couple of them in your team.
Definitely. And that's probably where Davies used him really well as well. And he's probably got a lot of confidence getting that 5 wicket haul for Australia. He had a couple of games in and out of T20. I think he got spanked one game against Sri Lanka at Geelong. Yeah, that can hurt your confidence a little bit, but that happens. I think that over the time, he's just been a tremendous performer. He's probably filling the void of the Ian Harvey, the James Faulkner that have done that. Sort of, even James Hopes did some hard yards.
At the death and changing it up.
Yeah, so I like the combination of him, and also I think Stoinis' bowling's growing as well. His skill sets are really, really growing. So that partnership of changing the pace, still got some good pace up their sleeve when they need it, to me looks like a real good combination.
And Maxwell bowled well, and he gets a bowl under Dave Warner. You know, that's pretty significant as well. Also, it was interesting coming out of the Big Bash. It looked like the Big Bash players, for me, the Big Bash gone another level this year. It's almost like set plays every ball. And sometimes at international level, because they don't play a lot, it's just like a condensed one dayer. Whereas I think with these guys that are coming out of the bash, they actually know exactly where they want to hit their hitting zones. The bowlers actually know where they want to bowl and get the fields right.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I reckon we've just got the T20, pick our best Australian team, but there's no real game plan about it.
Well, it's perfect timing, isn't it? I think if you look forward down the track to 2020 when we host the World Cup...
Well, it looks good.
It'd be great to have the Big Bash leading into that World Cup. Whenever, I'm not sure when the schedule is or when they're going to host it. But say it's in January, it'd be nice to have this competition leading into that.
Nah, it's November, December.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a shame.
Girls are playing February, March. But I like the concept. We talked about last week with Limo, having the World Cup 2020 in 2020. I just like the actual concept.
If only Richie Beno was here just to top that off, he would have done it beautifully.
What about the BBL, the Strikers? What a magnificent season they've had. They lost a few guys, including you included there, you know, Dunk and Richardson. Got a couple of really handy imports. One a superstar, Rashid Khan.
Yeah.
Colin Ingram, a steady import. But what he also done was when you lost Travis Head, he could captain.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of games around the group. But I tell you what, I thought they were light in the finals, and it didn't. It wasn't a factor. Jake Weatherald.
Wow. Yep.
Saw him in his first 50 last year, and thought, wow, this guy's an amazing hitter of the ball. And really, it took till the second half of this competition to get the real confidence. But all in all, they backed him.
Yep.
They liked that he's running between the wickets with Alex Carey, so they were still getting their...
Yes.
They just like steady power plays, don't they?
Yeah.
As long as they've got 9 wickets in hand, if we get to 40, it's happy days.
That looked like their plan.
But he's 100. Wow. Square of the wicket on both sides.
I sort of backed him in to be the player of the tournament last year.
Oh, okay.
I'd sort of seen the... Or the rising star. You know, the Darcy short of what he did this year. I thought Jake Weatherald, especially coming out of his JLT performances, his play well in Shield cricket, he's probably just learnt the art of 2020.
Just out, we had from Craig Howard, Howie. You're up there on Saturday night, are you?
I am, actually.
Sportsman's night.
I am. I can't use all my good stuff here, Squiggle, so just let it go, mate. I think I'm at the Sandhurst Cricket Club, which is...
I think it's with Chuck. I think Howie might have got on to me, but I'm working on the cricket there. But Howie sent through some comments about Hodgie's career too. He was a fine leg spinner, wasn't he? Howie?
Unbelievable leg spinner. Probably just got on the wrong side of some good coaching.
What about his wronging?
He'd
have
gone
would that have been in T20 cricket?
Yep, he would be making a fortune now. So if only Mr. Squiggle could turn back time and be the What was that Brad Pitt movie where it actually goes in reverse, the age?
Oh, yeah,
what
Joe Black.
No, not Joe Black. Oh, Joe Black was when he died.
That's the one that Warnie loved. Oh, yeah. Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button. Okay. If only Craig Howard could be the reverse and be the greatest leg spinner in the world at now, turning back the clock for 20 years, I think that'd be pretty cool.
But back to the Strikers. Back to the Strikers. And Wetherill was amazing. And
unbelievable.
And, you know, I thought they were vulnerable too. They lost Rashid Khan and Liam O'Connor come in, the leg spinner for his first game, landing his first ball, and it was a bit of a bouncy wrong. And it was sort of like, wow, okay, I can't just run down and hit him.
Yeah.
He's landed the first one. Also, it's actually spun.
And I didn't understand that tactic, though, of the batsman. If I was anyone in that shoe, I would have been trying to put Liam O'Connor 50 rows back.
Yeah.
First, second, third, fourth ball. Every ball. He would have been nervous as hell feeling the shoes of Rashid Khan. But didn't he do a super job? He landed 12 balls straight away on a good length. And the batsman led.
But we'll talk about the batsman's tactic in a minute there, because also Peter Siddle, which your team, the Renegades, they did go after, and he only bowled two overs in the semi. I thought, geez, you know, Sids is going to have to step up here. And one thing I like about Peter Siddle is, evidently he's working so hard on his game to upskill into T20 cricket. Like, he's 33 years of age. He's a legend of Australian cricket. You know, over 200 test wickets. And we saw the best of it in the final, that the Strikers quicks, I like how they bowl Yorkers in the power play and in the middle overs. Not many teams do that. It's a practice skill. And it's not the greatest slower ball of all time, but it's at least a slower ball. They're the sort of skills that Pete didn't have a few years ago.
Well, I think that's probably a combination of, you know, experience of Peter Siddle along with Ben Lachlan and also Joe Dawes working together as the bowling coach. I think their plans and execution were excellent. I love the way that they planned a Darcy short. I'm going to bowl full and straight at leg stump, tuck him out, give him no width to get under. I've got the protection on the leg side. It was a pre-plan, there's no doubt. And the execution of Peter Siddle was brilliant. His big bash was phenomenal. I think he went at you know, around seven and an over.
I think it was less.
So chuck that in with Rashid Khan going at 5.5 and over. Wow. You know, that's where Billy Stanlake and then Ben Lachlan come into... They probably had the best bowling unit in the comp, and that's why they won.
But you know what I like too, Hodgie? Real set plan. If we win the toss, we're batting. All right?
Yeah.
Early in the tournament, a lot of teams happy to chase, you know, have a look at, you know, early on and get themselves into the tournament. But they were determined straight away, we'll set totals. And a bit like the Scorchers, we'll back our defensive bowling unit to strangle the opposition, and that worked. But conversely on that, that powerhouse performance from the Hurricanes in the semi-final against the... They scorched the Scorchers.
Yeah, they did.
I was expecting with that... They got power hitters all the way through. You even get in past McDermott. There's still Dan Christian. There's Malenko, Archer, these types of players. But the man of the match in the semi, Matty Wade, didn't open.
No, he didn't open on grand final day, and... Didn't look too happy about it either, did he?
Well, to be fair to Wade, he also, not besides that, he got run out for a diamond duck. So I felt for Wade on that occasion. But do you just think that he's in form? He's just got man of the match in a semi-final. Go out. You've got a long batting order. Just go out and go hard. They had him and Short. They were chasing quite a big total. I didn't understand that they just didn't go hard from the power play.
Yeah, I thought they missed the trick there, the Hurricanes, especially after Matty had dealt with Mitchell Johnson, who's been one of the best bowlers in this competition, and he's 140. So the Strikers have taken away that main threat in Billy Stanley, because he wasn't there. So you'd like to think that Matty Wade would be ripe for the picking to do something similar to what the Renegades did in Marcus Harris, and we were quite aggressive towards their power play bowlers, and it worked in that instance. Oh, I thought Matty Wade could have done that. Whether they acknowledge that as a mistake or not, it's in hindsight. We all love hindsight. Tim Payne's been informed. Darcy Short's been informed. But I just think that...
But the problem for me...
It was a free ticket for Matty Wade to go out there and whack him.
In the semi, Melbourne Renegades, your team, and the Hurricanes chasing, Renegades were three down, Hurricanes were five down in a chase.
It's not ideal. You want to be bowled out, don't you?
I want to be bowled out.
Yeah, I can't say it was... I can't say it wasn't painful watching the Channel 10 broadcast, watching the Renegades lose from needing 40 off 33 balls, I reckon. That wasn't ideal. And probably similar fashion to the Hurricanes, they probably had it under control, I reckon. Probably in about the eighth or ninth over.
Is that the beauty of T20 cricket, though? Sometimes if you feel a bit safe and then nine balls later, oh, gee, we're behind the game here.
Yeah, that's what can happen.
That quickly,
and that's where you just got to be on top of it. I think that's where those bowlers like a Rashid Khan, AJ Tyre, something marginally different. You can, if you have got that in your armory, you can chuck them on, and it can change the game.
Yeah.
If you're just a bit pedestrian, all the same, then nothing great will happen. That's why spinners have been so tremendous in any T20 game, because they force the batsman to actually, take it on and think what they're going to do here and achieve. They can't use the pace. So, all in all, strikers were very good.
Did you have a MVP? Who was your player of the tournament?
I think Rashid was there, but
I went with Darcy Short.
I think he's probably world class. I don't think MVP should be given to overseas players. I think that Darcy Short was unbelievably good. I also think Ashton Turner won probably three games off his own bat. I thought he was outstanding. Those sort of players where, the game looks lost and someone like that wins the game. I think Darcy Short.
What I like about Ashton Turner is, I think it was four games that he actually won.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to bat in the top three, don't they? And that's the problem with the Australian T20 team, is how you get all those players up there. But Turner's, there's also a specific role for players that can come in and face 10, 12 balls and score 25 and 30. And he's one of the few players that can do that.
Well, it's easy to bat at the top. It is. You go in there, there's nothing to lose. You go in there and smack it, try and smack it. If you get out, leave it to the middle order.
But you've done both. Yep. You've done both. And you did a really good role in the middle order IPL.
Opening is far more easier.
Yeah.
So, the Ashton Turner, the Glenn Maxwell, Finch also did it in the middle order for Gujarat Lions and did it tremendously well. The players that probably more important, the hardest place to bat in T20 cricket is number four. It's a fluctuating spot. Generally, you either come in with one over left in the power play and you're sort of wrestling with yourself with, what do I do? Do I slog it? If I get out and we're three down, statistically, we're going to lose the game.
Yeah.
You always face the best spinner in the competition over 7, 8, 9, 10.
Who's already landing him.
And you're like, my God, how come I get to face Rashid Khan, for these four overs? It's so difficult. And that's where I think one of the best that I ever saw at it was David Hussey. Just because his strike rate was always 130, 140 from ball one, facing the best spinners, batting at number four.
I tell you what David Hussey could do, and I'm seeing Maxi adjusted when they were packing the leg side.
Yeah.
Batsmen that can hit with power inside out.
Yeah.
Inside out. You could see halfway through Glenn Maxwell's innings last night, he wanted to open up both sides of the wicket, and he was hitting sixes there. But that's not all players can do that.
No,
David Hussey could do that.
Dave, there's this. I just thought that Ashton Turner's game was outstanding. I think there's little impact people, like Dan Christian had a good impact, those sort of things, but not as skillful and dynamic as
over a longer period of time.
Yeah, so
so imagine when he starts bowling next year.
Yeah,
because he fields well. Yeah. And I tell you what, he speaks really well. He's got leadership all over him.
Yeah, look, I think he's unfortunately going to have some shoulder surgery after the competition, because I actually sussed him out, and I wanted to take him last year for Gujarat Lions, but that's a different story. I couldn't fit him in because we had to take five political players, but that's a different story. But I actually inquired about whether he's ready.
Have they dropped back into a local competition, the Gujarat Lions?
Not sure what they're doing, actually. Don't know.
I might go over and... Now they got a local comp I could play?
They have.
All right, we're just about to get to the IPL. What about the schedule going forward? There's talk of 14 more games. For me, I reckon they need to get some philosophies out there first. Are they going to make the competition, the Big Bash, get the Australian players available at worst for the semis finals, if not for more games? Get that philosophy in and then build the schedule around that.
Well, you want your best players playing the back end of the competition. It's hard to rip players out. Imagine going to an AFL grand final and going to Melbourne. Sorry, you can't play Jack Viney. And sorry, he's out today. Yeah. you know, we're going to rest Jack him up. Watts. And Jack, well, he's not there anymore.
He's gone. Hey, have you dealt with that okay?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm more disappointed that Colin Garland's retired.
Yeah.
So,
reliable defender.
Reliable. But I think they do need clarity on this. I'm not a fan of 14 games, I must admit. I've played many, many tournaments around the world. T20, doesn't matter where you are, it's always a week too long. Always a week too long. 14 games pushes it. This season felt like a long season.
It did
already.
As a player. Yep.
Yep, it did.
So ideally, if we could have finished it Saturday night, would have been ideal. But what do you think? Was it probably a week too long?
Well,
or?
We had one full week where we didn't do
that
anything.
That can't happen.
No, I don't think so. Players want to play. And at this day with the support staff and medical staff, the way we train, it's not an issue to play back-to-back games. It's not an issue to play with one day rest. I think that the players.
Well, you've got to tell the sports science.
Yeah,
they're the ones that dictate all that.
Maybe they should go back to Deakin University, back in the old school, and try and find.
You could hook them up with David Park. And what about the women's BBL? The Sixers are just they're a powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
You got Gardner and Perry and Healy. Not surprising they don't. I was actually really happy for Sarah Coit, who got. Player of the match. She was just playing local cricket, picked up 3 wickets. But talking about their schedule going forward, they need their own window, don't they? Or at least the finals need to be played on their day. Home team needs to get home final.
I'd love for them to have... I would. And I'd like
get
it
the
to
home
be
a, support.
Love it to be a boutique ground like when Australia played in North Sydney. I thought that was a really
under
good...
Lights.
Yeah, I thought that was a good stadium for the girls to be at. If, you know, Sydney had played that, you know, like we talked about before, on a Sunday afternoon, I really think the crowd will get behind them and it'd be a great festival.
At least Perry
would be happy.
She'll punch out another double under or whatever she scored.
Absolutely. And similar to Melbourne side, you know, if you had it here, the Junction.
Junction would be perfect.
Yeah, Adelaide Oval number 2, Allan Border Field. There's enough great stadiums around the country that could really make it a good festival day.
Yeah, and it's just getting better, a better and better competition.
The standard
but they
was
do deserve
phenomenal.
The finals to give the top 2 teams their home final, the support, and their own little window.
Agree.
And I reckon that'd be great.
Agree.
South Africa, India. So India are absolutely whopping South Africa in the one-day series. So they're travelling so better away from home now, the Indians. But it has helped when your captain scores hundreds for fun. He scored 34 one-day hundreds now. 160 not out overnight off 159 balls. We tend to talk about Virat Kohli just about every week, don't we? But I just love how he's just got that absolute determination to get his team over the line. Doesn't matter what format.
No.
And he was brilliant again last night.
Oh, he's just determined. He's one of the hardest working cricketers, you know, around the globe. He trains hard in the gym. He obviously clearly works hard on his mental game and technique. If you don't get him out early, you're in a world of pain. And people are struggling to get him out now. 34 one-day tons. It's endless. He could push himself to 75 if he's really a chance. I mean, he's got another 40 or 50 in
him. He looks fit too. Yeah, you know, just watching him, he wasn't fatigued at all. And I suppose for India, the worry for South Africa, and you talked about the difficulties, you know, facing spin. Wrist spinners just get him out for fun. So yep. Chahal and Kadeep Yadav,
they've lost their leader
the Chinaman.
As well. So Faf did a really good job in the test matches and he's out injured as well. The Cox out injured. So they've taken a couple of big players out of their lineup, which does hurt. But we all know that for some reason, this southern section of the globe, South Africa and Australia especially, struggle against spin.
Yeah.
Really do. And until we get better at it, we're going to see the likes of Chahal and all these guys picking up wickets for fun. They're skillful. They know what they do. They're self-taught. You know, they just work it out themselves, which I think is really important.
And they've got a lot of different, very accurate, but they've got different repertoires. There's a lot of different skill, that ability to turn the ball both ways.
Yeah.
Most of them have got the toppy, you know, you're always getting overspin.
Well, they're just exploring. I read an article recently about R. Ashwin, who's a genuine off spinner, who's planning the bowl leg spin in the IPL. Let's just, that'd be like just after 15 years of batting right-handed, go, you know what, I'm just going to give batting left-handed a crack this year.
Well, can you finish off with these Sandy as a left-hander?
I don't think so, but look, I love that. Yeah. I mean, that's what these guys are encouraged through sport. There's a guy in India.
Well, we just talked about Peter Siddle too.
Yep, getting better Yorker, and better and changing, cutter. Working, and that's how you, longevity, I suppose.
And tell you what I don't mind from that, from an Australian perspective either, is just flog the South Africans. I know it's a different format because we're going over there for the Test Series.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Just get them down there. IPL, you're a coach. You couldn't get over there because you were injured. Were you happy with your pickups?
Yeah. Look, they're pretty standard. They're all good sides. We had a great auction strategy and process. We knew that we were going to push hard for a number of players and lose them through right to match cards, but that would open up other opportunities for us to get players. Our strategy was to get some really gun Indian local players, which Kings 11 Punjab hasn't had since first or second year. So that was important. So we managed to do that. We got some great variety in our bowling, some power hitters. All in all, I'm wrapped, but yep. They're all gun players.
What Australian players did you get?
It's funny because I actually didn't push that hard myself for the Australian players, even though, you know, I love them all. It was more Virendra and a couple others who loved the way we got Aaron Finch.
So they watch much of the Big Bash?
Huge.
Okay.
Big Bash
so
is
they
huge.
Know. It's like research for the IPL fans.
Huge. And I think it was aired on three. It was someone told me it was on like three channels, I think. So they're watching it religiously. So we got Finch. We right to match Marcus Stoinis as an all-rounder. He was pushed to a high price, but we always knew that because Ben Stokes was always the premier all-rounder in the competition.
Stoinis is in that next tier.
After that,
yeah,
it's very slim pickings. Andre Russell was picked up. But someone who can bat and bowl with genuine pace and whack it is hard to find. We right to match David Miller, who's South African hard hitter. AJ Ty we got, and also got Ben Dorsius, who I like.
The Aussie selectors like him. Yeah. He's in the T20 team. And what I saw, it wasn't a bad selection because there's not a lot of left-hand quicks, but he also hits a long ball.
Long ball. He's a good fielder. Hits a long ball. I like him and Behrendorf, and I like to try and get those two into the T20 side. I think it just adds a new dimension of left arm. We saw Willie last night, just a couple early
swung
ones.
Swung them beautifully,
with
David.
Some shape. Ball. Yeah, Dorsius can do that at 140. So can Behrendorf.
What about the bit of controversy? What about Chris Gayle? Who just went all the way down and you decided to have a go. Was it just that at that price, what have you got to lose?
Well, at that time, so this was the second day of the auction. I went into surgery just as the auction happened on Sunday. So I was pretty comfortable with our Saturday. We just needed to find some bowling on Sunday. And I was pretty comfortable with Chris Gayle, actually. I did read the article of what Ricky Ponting said about Chris and that he's probably been on a steady decline. That's probably close to the mark because his stats will say that. But
I think a couple of hundreds in the Bangladesh Premier League to get him home.
I think that he's still got a lot of scare factor in him. And the only challenge for him is that, you know, how does he feel coming off probably earning $3 million a year in IPL to a couple of hundred? How's he going to react to that as a human being? I hope it fires him up. But certainly I think that he'll add to the group anyway when with his T20 experience. He'd be great on the dance floor. That's all that matters, IPL, that when you have a victory, you need someone to light the dance floor up, and he fits
and
that bill.
Chris has got good history.
We didn't get him for his cricketing talents. No. We got him so he can party on the dance floor.
I think we all know
floor.
That.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't be getting Ricky Ponting to dance on the dance floor. Don't worry about that.
Nah, us Australians are always just parked by the bar, aren't we?
Hey, Hodgie, I feel a bit unease in taking you through this. No doubt you know of the segment that has ripped up Australian TV again this summer, The Wicket of Truth. What it does, it guarantees success. So we kept it to two this year. Aaron Finch, three scores under 10, does the Wicket of Truth, boom, man of the match, and then goes on to score a couple of hundreds for Australia. G Maxwell, out of the test team, bang, does the Wicket of Truth there at Etihad and careers on the steady rise, including 100 last night.
Yep.
So not that you need to get informed.
No, I need something for East Sandy in the coming weeks.
We will need that. And I'm not sure if you heard, I caught up with my mate Will Smith, because you know that I've won an Academy Award for the Slumdog Millionaire, my role in that one. So, you know, when you're in the industry, you know, you just see each other out. Everyone was over Will Smith. Usman Khawaja, you know, was really nervous.
Yeah.
But he had this to say about The Wicked of Truth.
Will, can we get serious right now?
Yes.
There's a famous segment called The Wicked of Truth. The you Wicked want to tick it off the bucket list. We don't
yes.
have time.
The Wicked
I'm
of Truth is fantastic. That's, you know, it's that's all the buzz in Hollywood right now.
Buzz in
the
Hollywood.
Wicked, the Wicked of
there
Truth.
There you go.
You heard
deal.
It here. Hollywood has come
deal.
Knocking for The Wicked of Truth. Will, thank you thank so much.
So are you ready to do the buzz
I'm
of
ready.
Hollywood
I'm not
right
surprised
now?
Either.
And it's not a puff piece.
No, I'm not
this
surprised.
This is going to be the hardest hitting interview you've ever done.
I'm ready.
All right. Bradley Hodge, The Wicked of Truth. What's your favourite colour?
Ooh.
It's not going to be easy.
Okay.
You've got a favourite colour.
I have. It's probably blue. I'll say blue.
Okay. And if we get any questions up on the screen, I'll answer. I'll ask those.
I'm nervous so, from
hey,
now
mate,
on.
What was your, who was your favourite roommate?
My favourite roommate was probably Paul Rifle.
Yes.
And the reason Pistol was probably my favourite roommate is he didn't talk to me ever.
He didn't
ever.
Talk a lot.
Not
no.
once. So he'd walk in Slept. After a day's play, put the TV on, not say a word.
No.
So that'd give me pure freedom to do whatever I wanted, except for touch the remote control TV controller.
There'd be no Coke in the minibar, though.
None.
He loved a Coke.
Loved a Coke.
Loved the
Pistol.
Coke and sleep.
And I'd try and engage with Pistol,
no.
chit-chat.
Don't go
He'd
there.
Shut me down straight
yeah.
away.
So
all
you
the
learn.
Time.
Okay. Paul Rifle, doing a good job umpiring. Fastest bowler that you faced?
Fastest bowler was Sean Tate.
Oof.
Yeah, he's probably the fastest bowler.
He beat me first ball.
Oh, yuck. I reckon he beat me as well, but you know with Tatey, it's pure accidental.
One of the greatest
the was,
men to have played cricket for Australia.
You know that his adjustment was always going to be bad, because if he bowled a beamer,
yeah.
the next one had to be short because he just needed to land it on
you know
the
who
pitch.
Was really worried? Short leg.
Yes.
He hit short leg a couple of times. The wild thing. Actually, we need to get Tatey on.
Yeah,
I might try and
do.
Get him on next week.
We do.
Next up, who's the best bowler you faced in your career?
Best bowler? It's split, actually. I'm going to say fast, medium bowler, Glenn McGrath.
Oof.
And spinner, Mataira Muralidharan. And the reason being is that Glenn McGrath, I was playing at the SCG one day, full strength New South Wales versus full strength Victoria. And you knew those days. They were
awesome.
They were great games. Great games. And they're always close, actually, because we were pretty good and they were pretty good. And I was batting to Glenn McGrath. Anyway, I thought what I'd played a perfect forward defence that would just hit the middle of the bat. I looked around and Mark Wall caught a second slip.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still have no idea how I'm out and how I've actually missed it, because it caught the shoulder of my bat. So I've actually missed it by a foot of where I wanted to hit in the middle of the
yeah.
bat. So to this day, I'm still like, how did that get me out? I'm out.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the best.
Well, my first ball, we're just on Facebook Live. You can see that my second knuckle is gone, because that was the first time I faced Glenn McGrath. He actually smashed my knuckle.
Yeah.
And you know straight away when you've got something broken when you're batting, don't you? Have that black feeling.
It makes you feel sick.
And it started to swell, so I knew I couldn't take my glove off because it was swelling that much. I was not a watchman, only three overs to bat.
Mm.
Got off, got through, I was in a lot of pain, got off and they cut it and the glove off and it just swelled. Then the next day they actually had to cut another glove, put it on and then sticky tape it to go out there at bat. But that was a bit the same. I saw it pitch. Then the next minute, it's crushed my second knuckle.
Did fast bowlers get free gloves back then? You would have had county.
No, I
you
think
know, you had to ring Phil O'Meara up and say, can I have a new pair of gloves?
I think I would have borrowed some
Did
money
you? Yeah.
off somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe Simon O'Donnell. I think that was the game he hit that big six,
yeah.
and it was his last
one. So the other
one
was Muralidharan, only because he was the first real trick bowler, I reckon, that could spin it both ways.
And but miles both ways.
And the thing was, until you actually... It took you probably three or four overs to work out the reading of the bowler. But then the other thing was, you still had to score. And no one could score. So I found him the toughest opponent to actually score runs off. Just because you're searching... By the time you actually work out what it is, you haven't got time to compute what you actually want to do.
I liked facing Muralidharan because you worked out what the adjoining pitch was going to do, because he'd actually pitch it on that and still hit you on the hip. I just couldn't I'd never faced anyone spin it that far.
All you could do is a sweep shot, and that's where the cagey little bugger then decided to come around the wicket, and then he would just spin it back and just dump some Baldushi, and you're going, what am I doing?
I love that. Two of the greatest bowlers of all time. Okay, who's the most underrated Victorian bushranger player that you played with?
Most underrated? I'd probably say Johnny Moss, actually. John Moss, I think, is an all-rounder when you had Ian Harvey before him. I think that he's...
Not as dynamic as Harves, but he was a real competitor.
Yeah, I think his contribution with the ball was more so effective than with the bat.
Have you got any stories? Because I'm actually emceeing a corporate function where he works.
I'll tell you what he was.
At Zurich.
He was an underrated cricketer. I'll tell you what he was. He actually won best player in the district leagues up in New South Wales. Or is it the equivalent of the Dally M medal, whatever that is for cricket?
Oh, the Ryder medal.
The equivalent of the Ryder. But Johnny,
I think it's the Bollinger,
I'll tell you what he was.
Bollinger Award.
He was the pickiest human being ever when you went out to a restaurant, and whatever was on the menu,
he'd want something different
or change it. So if you had spaghetti bolognese, can I please have spaghetti but not with
the
bolognese? Can I have it with it's there, it's on the menu, just pick it and eat it. If you don't want spaghetti bolognese, pick marinara, whatever it is.
And this would happen at every restaurant?
Every restaurant. Okay. Everything. And it's painful. Just order what's there and eat it.
Well, thanks, mate. You've given me some info for tonight. Look forward to catching up with Mossy. You're doing it with Rodney Hogg too, so that could be interesting. What about the first bat you had as a kid?
It was the GC Crusader, it was called. The Greg Chappell Crusader. Oh. It was probably the fourth grade down. It was pretty crappy. My parents...
Not the double scoop, not the single scoop.
No, we couldn't afford we couldn't afford the high echelon bat. I was good enough.
The Schlesinger ton. Do you know who signature would have been on that? It was about 1982.
Well, Viv was the V500, wasn't he? I'd say Alan Border. Alan Border.
It was Kim Hughes.
Kim Hughes.
Yeah, that was my first bat. What about the best 100 you scored?
Best 100. Best 100 was, I think, down in Tassie, I reckon, where I'd had minimal sleep enough to be.
Because you're a bit crook or something.
Yeah. Got away.
I'm
got
saying
carried
this
away.
Is early when I think about you down in Tassie, what about that time you sang Sweet Child of Mine?
Sweet Child of Mine.
In Mahoney's.
Yes.
Can you talk us through the build up for that?
Well, that was actually after I scored a century, I reckon, as well.
We were there having a few beers. Yep. You weren't there. All of a sudden, you're there at, was it a karaoke?
It was
and
a karaoke.
Did you have Sweet Child of Mine in your ear as you sang it? What was the theory there?
I can't remember. Cut a long story short, I think I put on 250 with Dino. I'd scored my first 100 for the state. Went out and had a few beers with Dino.
Yeah.
I was walking home, stumbled into Mahoney's where you boys were and got carried away a
thought
little
I'll
bit
thought I'll just do Sweet Child of Mine.
Enjoyed
did
it.
Did a bit of karaoke, yep. Which was funny because karaoke wasn't invented until a couple of years later. You just actually
it was
started
in Hobart.
What about the favourite wicket that you've got with those crafty little offies?
Favourite wicket is definitely BC Lara.
Serious?
Yes. So
left-hander, talk me through it.
Well, it was for Australia A. And I think we've discussed this a long time ago. It was Australia A. And I said to Damien Martin at the time, who was the captain of Australia, and we were playing against West Indies. And I said to him, mate, look, I'm pretty handy against lefties lately. If you fancy it, I reckon I got him covered. Anyway, Marto didn't think that I was the right option. And about 6 hours later, when BC was on 250, chucked me the ball, first ball, nicked the first slip.
Boom.
Ran up to Marta and said, see, I could have saved yourself 6.5 hours of punishment if you had given me 6 hours.
And what did
you
say? Do we acknowledge it? Or did you... What a big talk about it.
Good thing was he kept me bowling. I ended up getting 4 for 17.
Oh, he did. So that wasn't the 5 for 28. That would have been good against an international team.
It would have been good.
What about funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate? Oh, look, in a weird way, I think Mickey Lewis was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mickey brought me a lot of humour.
What about when he first came on the scene and as 12th man, he used to just sledge the incoming batsman of the opposition?
Incoming batsman as you walk out.
Just sledging him. He was just going, who is this bloke?
Well, for those on the camera, we used to call him Blinky Bill because he's like that all the time. So he's like a rat in a flour tin. He didn't take too kindly to it, of course.
No, you know, the time that AB had heard everyone calling him Blinky, and Mickey went up to IAB and he goes, hey, Blinky, how you going? And he stopped and he goes, I don't like being called that, Alan. Boy, he didn't know the history of it. He just thought it was his nickname.
No, it was funny, but I love.
So he got a bit stir crazy at AB, the great Alan Border.
Yeah. So look, he was not traditionally funny in terms of prankster or joke, but
just funny.
Mickey just brought me humour. Where he was known as the cellar dweller as well, so he'd never watch us bat.
Okay.
So he'd be batting number 11, and he just watched. He never got out of the dungeon down there in the MCG.
That was his safe place.
That was his thing. That was his thing.
What about a teammate that inspired you?
Probably in the early days. Probably Dino, I reckon.
Yeah.
He inspired me and encouraged me just to be as good as what I could be at that early age. So he was really important, I reckon, to back me in my first year where I got sort of 991 runs. I'd always wanted to play like Dino anyway. As a youngster, he was sort of like my idol through one day cricket.
Oh, that'd be amazing to bat with your idol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And I just, you know, he dominated Shield cricket back then as well. So,
but also for all, you know, how many runs he scored and everything as well, I reckon he did a lot of the 1% as well. Like his running between the wickets was awesome. His ability to go on to big scores. You know, he wasn't satisfied with just getting 100, was he?
No, and just those little game sense things which he taught me out of the middle was quite important and inspired me. You know, like if he tucked it down the fine leg and he just dropped it somewhere near the 30-metre circle, that he knew there was always two.
Yeah.
So those little game sense things were
what
great.
About getting singles off the last ball to retain the strike? Did you learn that?
I learned that beautifully off him because I actually had to learn how to do it because we actually spent a fair bit of time at the crease. So I sort of had to nutmeg him back and go, hang on, mate. There's a quick single here. Let's go.
What about AC/DC? We're both heavy metal fans, hard rock. Should AC/DC release an album with Axl Rose?
Jeez, it'd be pretty hardcore. I think they should.
And make it the last one? Because Angus is the only original member now.
Yes.
Otherwise, you could end up lead singer.
I could. Well, there's been a few people who have stepped in for Guns N' Roses as well over the time. There's been a few that stepped in after Bond's death for AC/DC.
But I like Axl because he's got the range of Bond Scott, so they do a lot of Bond Scott songs.
I reckon they should.
All right.
I reckon they should. And this might mark it. They should do it in 10 years' time because I might make a comeback myself in 10 years' time.
Yeah, particularly if they play down at Tasmania.
Yep.
What about your favourite pump-up song?
Pump-up song. I generally went to Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit at the early ages.
Yeah.
Then sort of I'd go through phases of mellow songs as well.
Yeah, so, what's your mellow song? Metallica?
No. you'd probably go to, Nothing Else Matters if you wanted to slow things down. So generally when you're on the team bus in overseas tours and you'd be pumped up for a T20 game, you'd probably try and calm yourself down. That's how I'd sort of do it. And then there'll be other times when you're driving up Punt Row and you've been waiting for the game all day and you want to crank it up and get it right into the action. So anything from Nine Inch Nails to Really Nail, up there
your
was
pump.
A good one.
Yeah, that's big stuff there. What about the first album that you bought?
First album was actually, I can't remember, and I heard you guys talking about this on Channel 10 the other day with Ricky. I think it was either 1982 with The Bullet.
Yep, Various Artists.
Or Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yep,
and it came in the cassette tape.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think
we'd have to explain that, wouldn't we, to the younger listeners here? Yeah.
So for those two, I know that it was either, I'm not sure which one was first, but I know that it was either 1982 with The Bullet or Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yeah, you can't beat it back in 1983, could you? Thriller. And what about just a little motto or for a young cricketer, what a cricketing motto after 20 years playing?
For me, it's just about trying to enjoy the game through the highs and lows. You know that cricket is such a hard sport, especially as a bowler and batter. Like I say to the young kids that as a batsman, you only have one in 4 to 5 good days. And I say that to the parents as well. So don't get down on yourself. So really,
you can learn a lot, can't you, from the tough times?
Yeah, so really enjoy yourself when you have you have a really good day and you've contributed to the team. There are days when you're going to get a duck and you're going to get out cheaply or get a bad LBW decision, but that's okay. You just learn from it and don't get down on yourself. The main thing is that you're playing a sport with 10 other mates, and it's good fun.
And it's good fun, and to quote your mellow song, nothing else matters. That's the wicked of truth. That is the hardest interview you've ever been through, isn't it?
Tough.
That's why it's the buzz of Hollywood.
I'm still stooped on that colour one. Yeah, I just said blue because it just came there. Yeah.
So I'll be doing The Wicked of Truth with Will Smith in Hollywood over the winter. You can probably come.
I'll come. I'm okay. To hang out
there. You know what time it is. This one is red hot. I know Will Smith, he did whisper to me going, mate, I want a selfie. I had a selfie with him, but, you know, can you please not put me on that Brad Hodge segment?
Right.
The social media self-promoter award. Who is it this week? Or who are they?
Well, we've got a couple of nominations, and they're probably Serial Bandits, which is great.
Yeah, I like that.
I haven't been here for a while, and I wanted to tap into the Serial Bandits. And to lead us off, is a beauty from Greg Norman, the shark himself. And we love the shark. I've been scouring the social media, and I've never seen a man aged at his age, whatever he is, 60 or whatever the shark.
He looks half his age.
But promotes himself like no other. Yeah. I've never seen this. It's like he'd be 21. Anyway, Greg has shown a photo of his own vessel, which is about 180 foot long, this vessel. And it's got a picture of himself working out in his...
On the boat?
On the deck.
I thought you relaxed on the boat.
Not for him.
Do a bit of fishing.
So it's pumping weights. It's a whole section of the boat, which is actually a gymnasium. And it's got, tell me one person who wants to work out, who would not want to work out on this. What I love about this is the likes. Have a guess who the two people who might like this particular...
Cricketers?
They are cricketers, yeah.
Do they get nominated on the social
they
media?
Do. They do. They
I'm just going to take a wild guess. Kevin Peterson?
Well, he loves the high life. He is one, yes. Correct.
Michael Clarke.
No, incorrect. Friend of Michael Clarke, though.
Shane Warne.
Shane Warne.
Yep, there you go, boom.
So they're probably the only two people who could actually afford to have a day on this vessel.
If I had boats that had gyms on them, I'd be making sure that Warney and KP knew about it because they'll want to buy one now.
Yep.
Probably not as big as sharks. Yep, so that's going to be hard not to give him maximum votes, Normo.
Yes.
Who else have we got there?
Correct. We've also got, well, speaking of the Serial Pest nomination, it is KP.
Yeah.
KP just prancing himself around Collingwood Football Club saying, I'm now a Collingwood Football fan. KP24 on the back of the T-shirt, you know, so...
Well, he's getting votes, but he's also played for the Melbourne Stars for 4 years. Has he just found a football team now?
Yes,
Now he's going. All right, KP.
So it's votes. A bit late. See you later. DJ Bravo... DJ Bravo just found time in his own time to put out there on social media a photo of himself picking up a lazy 6.4 crore in the Indian Premier League, which is just over $1 million.
That's just a self-promotion.
Just
that's why this is here.
I'm just an instant millionaire. Yep. I'm here. Thanks for coming.
Folks.
I thought that was brilliant. The other one is a friend of mine, John O'Dean. Who's generally not a self-promoter on John O'Dean.
He's getting the shag going, Jono.
Oh, the Three Musketeers. He looks like one of them, doesn't he? Anyway, I like it. But John O'Dean was very vocal about winning the Big Bash. He was happy to take photos of himself consistently. We know you won, mate. It's okay. We know you won. Congratulations.
But he's been a journeyman.
He has.
So he's cashing in, but it is still... self-promotion.
It is on social
media.
It is self-promotion. There were a few other nominations in that section. Peter Siddle did the same thing. A few others. Congratulations. No need to rub it in.
No, we love the
But it was
strikers.
More John O'Dean went very much over the top.
Well, I want you to have a big week this week, scaring the social media. I will go one vote for John O'Dean.
Yep.
It's self-promotion, but well done, Jono. I think we're all very happy with what you've done there. I think it's a sneaky two... DJ Bravo, because, well done, but it's a self-promotion. KP, three votes, picking Collingwood.
Yeah.
But then also, he's been here 4 years. I mean, it should have been Collingwood straight away.
He was just hobnobbing with Eddie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's not hobnobbing with Eddie.
He was hobnobbing with Eddie.
And potential gig next year, maybe, as MC
Correct.
Of the Collingwood home games. So poor Scotty Cummins might be in a bit of trouble. Four votes, Normo.
We love Normo. Well done.
We love Normo. Keep him going. That is the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Hey, Hodgie, I'm not sure. One of the big things in cricket this week was, I'm not sure if you saw the vision, But there was a club game at Trumper Oval in New South Wales. So they're just playing, might have been
in Paddington.
In Paddington. And all of a sudden, a lady has decided to exercise. There's plenty of room outside the ground, on the ground. The players are yelling at her, but she's got headphones on, right? So she's just doing a little bit of, stretching and a little bit of running and all that. When she realizes that they're not happy with them, there was a tirade. There's a bit of abuse. She come back a bit later and evidently started stretching, when she decided to stretch.
And this is on YouTube, is it? It's on YouTube?
Side screen. YouTube.
I'm going to have to have look this up.
But I was thinking, our guide to exercising at a cricket oval while the game's going on, you've got plenty of options, haven't you? You run around the ground, and you can actually watch the game. Or, so it actually takes your mind off how exhausted you're getting.
Or unless there is particular cones around the ground.
And some sprints.
And you can go in between the cone and the fence. I'm pretty sure that's okay. And I'm pretty sure some cricketers would be happy to see some people exercising around the ground. They're always going to be ticked for health. Look, I've run into a few issues like this myself and my own sort of issues, but it's not so much people working out. We have, at the local scene, had to kick a few people off, saying it's now cricket time. But I reckon a big issue in local cricket these days is dog shit.
Yes.
And
we're saying a newer. Yeah.
We've happily called a couple of grounds in Brighton dog shit park. And we've actually been playing and... not just one. They're actually still having the dogs on the oval. And of course, they just run. The ball's being played. Yes,
our guide too. So dog etiquette while the game's going on.
So,
please.
So it's similar to this lady where she's just clearly come on. She wants to work out. She probably works out there Monday to Friday. But this is Saturday, love. This is when sport happens.
Yes.
And there's people in the dog section need to understand too that no 12-year-old kid wants to step on a pile of dog shit when he's chasing one out to deep point. Then they've got whites on, so they can't slide
No.
What are you doing?
But you could drop a catch. So you could fall in it.
So our etiquette...
Yeah.
Etiquette needs to be, find a park where you can work out. That'd be ideal, love, if you can take that. It is a cricket oval, and it clearly says Paddington Cricket Ground.
And generally, you can do it early in the morning, possibly.
Early, yep, possibly. Yeah, because this was an afternoon match, wasn't
it? Probably started at 12:31. Yep.
And the other guide is to try and keep your dogs on a leash if a cricket game's going up and pick your dog shit up. That's pretty simple too.
Sometimes keep your fast bowlers on a leash as well. That's our guide to fitness etiquette, dog etiquette while the cricket's going on. Quickly, another guide too. What about the AB medals on Monday night? Yep. And we know the actual AB medal gets awarded, Belinda Clark medal for the best women's player. There's the Test Player of the Year, One Day Player of the Year. The Domestic Player of the Year, Bradman Young Player of the Year, and Hall of Fame. So, a lot to get in there.
There's a lot there, isn't
there? What was your experience? It's my first one. I had a good year for Australia, so I was on the main
table. Did you get the one day?
No, I reckon I come about fourth or fifth, so I got a lot of votes. And then the next year, I thought, I'm in trouble here because I was just a table off the main table.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I'm another table back. But it was actually... an interesting year because on that table was Darren Lehman, Colin Miller, and Damian Martin, right? So we decided to do what a lot of awards nights do. If someone gets a vote, we'll scull a beer.
Yes.
Right? So I started the year in the Australian team, and for what a reason? Well, I probably shouldn't have got dropped because I think I voted in four of the first six games. What were the selectors doing? But I know what we were doing on table 38. We were off to a flyer.
Yeah.
Darren Lehman. Domestic Player of the Year, Darren Lehman.
That's awesome.
This is the year Colin Miller wins Test Player of the Year. He won it with only about six votes. We didn't play many tests, so there was like four shouts for that. A couple of twos, a couple of ones.
Yep.
Then Damian Martin, this is when he got back in the Australian team. He's just sneaking one votes for fun, right? So at the end of the night, we are absolutely cactus.
Yep.
Not a lot of votes between us, but surprise votes. But a little bit of a guide to, just be careful. Do a bit of research if you're going to have drinking.
How
are
you going to go? Yeah, I like that. And
what about your experiences?
Well, it's good that you actually gave the sponsor's product a run from CUV.
That's the other thing.
They do serve Crown, don't they? Crown Lager at that function. I'm glad you gave it a run.
I'm not sure if it's Lion Nathan now that they're sponsoring it.
Yeah, maybe. Look, My guide to is generally if you are in the last car leaving the hotel, because you generally all gather at wherever they stay next to the Langham in the city. You know how well you're going to go.
Yeah.
So you might as well not get in the car.
Nah, Hodgie, not the first car, mate. not second.
So if you're in the second to last car, don't go. Waste your time. Go into Flinders Lane, have yourself a cracking time instead of sitting there bored shitless waiting for
and
your
name. And just go to JJ's afterwards.
It's spot on.
Go to JJ's bar afterwards.
That's my guy.
That's your guy. Yeah. If you're not in the first two cars,
rack it off.
As a player, go there. Go to JJ's.
Nah, because JJ's is probably the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
We all know that. That's...
And good luck to everyone in the Hall of Famers as well.
Yeah, I think that's really special. That's really important.
Remember Jeff Thompson's speech? What a legend Tomo was.
Shocking speech.
I loved it though because it was not polished.
It was against
it?
The grain, wasn't it?
It was against the grain.
And we love that. But it is a special night for all these people to be acknowledged in what they have achieved. It's very hard to maintain a level over 12 months. There'll be some phenomenal performances. The Hall of Fame is a great induction for anyone that's involved in that. It's a pretty special night. Enjoy yourselves. That's why. It's just most of those nights pretty much can be pretty much shit boring.
Yeah.
So drinking
But
games,
they get through it quicker now. Like, I think it's fine. I've been the Brownlow and all that. It's not much different, really. Just
it's
get
the end of
the
season.
And,
we encourage sponsors product. Yes. That's all it is. And don't waste too much money on your missus's frock either. It gets get trashed at JJ's later on.
No.
If you're good enough, if you're in the top car, you're probably going to get sponsored to wear anyway.
I never got sponsored to wear
anything.
Remember
for the girls to try and wear something appropriate.
Appropriate at the AB medal. Yeah, everywhere. AB's there. It's his medal. So make sure, Alan's, one of the nicest guys I've ever met there. Just respect AB.
It's not a fashion show, is it?
It's not a fashion show. Mm. It can be. The guys go a bit funny, don't they? Hey, that's our guide to the AB medal. Hey, Hodgie, that's it. Hey, mate, well done on your playing career.
Glad to be back. This is what's most important.
We'll book it in next week. We'll get some questions out there. And if you can help us, thanks for watching on Facebook. If you've got any suggestions for the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. And we might work on another special guest next week.
Yes, sounds good.
But, Hodgie, I think people are asking, can you finish with a little bit of Sweet Child of Mine, or is that it? Or do we finish with Bevo?
No, we love Bevo. We've got to finish the show the way we wanted to.
Right, and good luck to all the Sheffield Shield teams playing as well. Like us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Well done, Hodgie. Never to touch and never to keep, because you loved it too much and you died too
deep. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.